Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
There has been a call for over 60s, people over 60s in Johannesburg to volunteer for a phase 3 COVID-19 investigational vaccine clinical trial. Joining us on the line this morning is the operations officer at the clinical HIV research unit, Fetsi Nwepe, and as well as program manager community engagement at Right to Care, Subisiso Maseko. A very, very good morning to you, and thank you both for taking the time to speak to us.
Thank you, Harold. Thank you for having us in your show.
Good morning, and thank you for having us on your show.
Right. Good morning to you both. So can we just start off with some background around this research and around this investigational vaccine clinical trial?
Okay. No, thank you, Harold. Right to Care, together with CHIRU, they are basically involved in different clinical trials, and which one of is the one that we only got a message this morning that the enrollment is closing. However, we are of the opinion that it is very paramount for the nation or the communities to know about clinical trials. So we are here to talk about any type of clinical trials. Myself and Fetsi will be able to respond to questions that relate to clinical trials.
What does it mean for anybody who's not fully aware? What does it mean that we're talking about phase 3 clinical trials?
Okay, phase 3 clinical trials, let me just start by explaining that we have different phases that we go through when we want to investigate a medication to see if it works or if it doesn't. We start off with phase 1, wherein we use only healthy volunteers, and go to phase 2, where we use or we involve participants who are having the disease under investigation, but very few numbers. And then we go on to phase 3, when we have seen that in phase 2, there's been a positive response in terms of safety and efficacy. And we are confident that now the medication can now be used by a larger population. And then we go to phase 3, where bigger numbers of participants are used. And this is usually the phase of the clinical trial wherein we are confident that we can now submit the medication data to regulatory authorities for approval for use. And the efficacy would have been established, and safety as well, in phase 2.
This stage at phase 3 is you'd be basically looking, and that's why you're looking for people over 60, although you say it might have now closed, but let's just talk about that. In any event, the idea now is to try it out with people who are in the age group or in the area where they might have been more susceptible than a healthy younger person, for example.
Correct. So what would have happened is that when we start off with the recruitment or enrollment in phase 3 and using bigger numbers, initially we started off with any in the age from 18 all the way up to above 60, and with different 18 to 50. So the study has disproportionately enrolled a large number of under 60. And the basic aim of the study right from the beginning was that we needed to have as representative a sample as possible, especially because COVID-19 affects in more severe forms the elderly. Mm-hmm. So hence the focus shifted from the other age groups like 18 up to 50 or 59 to over 60s. That is where we were coming from when we wanted the
In terms of the South African population, with many people having a HIV positive status, have we seen that having an impact on their response to COVID-19?
In a way, yes. But what we have seen is, in terms of the reality on the ground, there hasn't really been that much of a pronounced effect on the fact that the South African population, there's a lot of HIV-positive patients. But what we have seen is that with all other comorbidities or pre-existing illnesses like your diabetes and heart failure, etc., there has been an impact which has been probably more felt than in, say, younger people. But with HIV particularly, it hasn't really been that much of a pronounced impact as we would have we initially expected.
It's interesting. I think it's probably too soon to know, but once we have some time perspective, it'll be interesting to know if the lack of impact is because people that are HIV positive are used to caring for their health, or if it's because perhaps the regime of medication hasn't an impact, or if it just simply doesn't make a difference. It'll be interesting to, and I'm not sure how it gets assessed, but it'll be interesting to note that. I know that many of the medical people that I speak to are concerned when you speak about the other comorbidities, that because of COVID, people have kind of ignored those. So if they have a chronic heart condition or they have another chronic condition, they're not really getting to the doctors or to the hospitals to have them treated because COVID has sort of taken over our focus and taken over the limelight. And that's obviously a concern as well.
That's right. And one of the things that statisticians will eventually analyze is exactly what you just alluded to find out what has been the effect on people with different comorbidities, including those with HIV. And you're right when you say, for the most part, people who are HIV positive and are very well controlled on ARVs, their immune system is at a level where it's probably not that much of an issue in terms of comparison with the general population. So it will be interesting to see when the statistical analysis are done to see what the effects have been on those different comorbidities.
In terms of, we don't have a lot of time left, but in terms of the trial, the vaccine trial for over 60s, are you looking at a cross section of the South African population? How do these studies randomly, or these trials work in the normal course of events?
We definitely look at as much as representation as we can possibly get from all different communities. That is the ideal situation, but as we know, there are certain therapeutic areas or diseases which afflict certain portions of our communities more than others. So when we do clinical trials, we look at those dynamics and say which sections of our populations are more afflicted by, for example, this condition, and the research then focuses on those populations because we want to mimic the on the ground situation as much as possible when we do the clinical trials, especially at phase 3.
And over what kind of a period does a phase 3 trial, or do you anticipate the phase 3 trial will take place?
For this particular one that we're doing, we're looking at a period of about 2 years, but most of that period is really follow-up. The initial period of about a year is when we're really looking at the immune response that has been mounted, whether it's still active at that point, and the rest of the period is really follow-up. But with other therapeutic areas, you could do trials for more than 5 years. In cancer, for example, you could do trials for 6 months in flu or things like rhinitis, for example. So it really depends on the therapeutic area that you're dealing with.
Absolutely amazing. We unfortunately do need to leave it there. If any of our listeners would like to reach out to you, to your organization, how do they do that?
We have, as I indicated in the beginning, that we're working together with CHRU, and their center is in Helen Joseph,
right.
And as well as we have our own site here at SSIO Cosmos City. We have a right to care clinic at corner Malibongwe and Terrace, so they can come and get more information in, especially directly from our site.
Thank you for the amazing work that you very clearly are doing. This is God-given work, if ever there was any. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. It is greatly appreciated. That's a clinical operations officer at the Clinical HIV Research Unit, Fetsi Nwepe, as well as program manager, community engagement at Right to Care, Sibusiso Maseko. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. I'm Howard Feldman.